One of the most iconic consoles Nintendo has put out by far is the 3DS, a personal favorite of mine and millions of others, selling approximately 76 million units worldwide. Even with its vast popularity, this handheld surprisingly still has some mysteries and unknown trivia surrounding it. Such mysteries and trivia will be covered today in the classic iceberg chart format. You know, the one where the surface level knowledge can be found at the top, while the more mysterious and darker knowledge is found further down the chart. Without further ado, I won't waste any more of your time, as this is quite the lengthy chart with over 60 entries. So go grab a snack and get comfortable as I walk you through the ultimate Nintendo 3DS iceberg. Starting with the easiest entry ever, yes, the 3DS did in fact feature Miis, as well as a few Mii-focused softwares that went along with them, such as Mii Maker, Miiverse, StreetPass Mii Plaza, and many others that will be covered in detail further down the iceberg. Simply put, yeah, Miis were a pretty big part of the 3DS's life. Miiverse. Miiverse was Nintendo's one and only attempt at a social network. The network worked for 3DSs and Wii Us exclusively. It allowed you to upload screenshots, clips, as well as regular text posts to be featured in communities for specific games on both consoles. As fun and also outlandish as this feature was, it unfortunately shut down in 2017, with Nintendo citing reasons such as concerns with moderation and cost of maintaining the service as cause for shutdown. Nintendo Network. Nintendo Network was the name of the 3DS and Wii U's online services. Games that featured any sort of online capability on the 3DS and Wii U used Nintendo Network. I'm gonna keep this super brief because I literally have a video covering Nintendo Network in great detail on my channel already. You should go check it out just after this iceberg. With that said, Nintendo Network was around for about 12 years before being shut down in April 2024. Backwards compatibility. This entry simply refers to the 3DS's vast amounts of backwards compatibility, specifically with the DS, but also with the NES, the SNES, the GBA, many Game Boy games. Virtual Console, a thing that carried over from the Wii. Virtual Console is a label that Nintendo would place on vast amounts of their older games that were re-released for the 3DS. But just where would they buy these Virtual Console titles? The Nintendo eShop, a storefront for all games available on the 3DS. Here you could also view trailers for upcoming games, including titles that would be released on the Wii U and even the Wii. You could watch Nintendo Directs here. Not much else to mention, but hey, I always found the animation that plays while downloading a game to be really cool. 3DS revisions. Throughout the 3DS's lifespan, many revisions and alternatives were released. I'm honestly just gonna bolt through a list of them, so without further ado, there was the 3DS, 3DS XL, New 3DS, New 3DS XL, 2DS, and New 2DS XL. Now for this next entry, I've brought on Lions to speak about the 3DS's special editions and his personal favorites. Take it away, Lions.
Yeah, the 3DS had a ton of console variations, and I am severely hyper-fixated on all of them. These variations ranged in rarity and price. For example, there were the Black Friday consoles, which sold for as low as $100 at one point. And then on the rarer side, there are the Pokemon Battle Trazi 3DSs, which don't even have a price, since there were only 5 made. Now, personally, I own a couple of special editions in my collection, such as the Pokeball New 2DS XL, the Creeper New 2DS XL, and my personal prized possession is my Chopper 3DS LL that is exclusive to Japan. Now, outside of the consoles that I own, the only one that I'm really on the hunt for at the moment is this Pokemon Center Charizard 3DS LL, but unfortunately, I'm probably not going to get it anytime soon, since it's like $1,000, and I'm broke.
Stylus, an accessory included with every model of the 3DS. The stylus actually varies between the different console revisions, with my personal favorite being the one that came with the original 2011 launch 3DS. It let you extend and retract the stylus as much as you need for maximum comfort, unlike future models. Amiibo. Yeah, that thing that was begrudgingly pushed into every Nintendo game between 2014 to 2017 was in fact available on the 3DS. Amiibo support for the 3DS is actually what sparked the creation of the new Nintendo 3DS/2DS lines of consoles. I mean, the new and the new Nintendo 3DS logo literally has the Amiibo branding around it. While it wasn't the sole reason for their existence, it was definitely marketed as a big thing that just had to be included in the 3DS. So what about older, non-new Nintendo 3DS consoles? How is Amiibo integrated into those consoles? Simple, with the 3DS NFC reader. By lining up the NFC reader with the infrared port on these older consoles, you were able to tap Amiibos on the NFC reader and have them appear in-game. And finally, we made it to the end of Tier 1. Like I said, very surface level knowledge. As we dive into Tier 2, however, you'll see things get a little more interesting. Face Raiders is a game that came packed in with the 3DS as a tech demo. I'm sure if you've used the 3DS at all, you definitely have memories of playing this game. If not, well, allow me to quickly explain. Face Raiders is simply a 3D augmented reality shooter game that utilizes gyroscopic controls and cameras. The concept is basic. You take a picture of something, preferably a face, and then shoot the faces down with pellets until you inevitably reach the boss fight. I believe there's about 9 total levels in Face Raiders, so yeah. And for the second special guest of this iceberg, ladies and gentlemen, I present to you Egon to explain Spot Pass and Street Pass to you.
Thank you, Chili, for having me on to talk about two of the most unique and amazing features of this console. Spot Pass was an always-on online background connectivity system. The system would constantly seek Wi-Fi hotspots to send and receive information from while the console is in sleep mode or while playing a game. This feature would often be used to obtain information, game data, free software, and videos from Nintendo or the game in use. Street Pass, on the other hand, allowed for passing communication between other nearby 3DS systems. During these exchanges, data would be shared between games that both consoles owned and had Street Pass enabled for. Of course, the most iconic inclusion of Street Pass was through the Street Pass Mii Plaza, where you would receive visitors composed of the Miis from the consoles you Street Passed.
I've made several videos about that. Chili doesn't want me to advertise myself, but go check them out.
These Miis could then be used in various Street Pass minigames Nintendo offered, like Find Me and Puzzle Swap.
Swapnote, also known as Nintendo Letterbox in Europe, was a free app from the eShop. Swapnote would allow you to send notes to your friends on Spot Pass or Street Pass. Unfortunately, Swapnote was very short-lived, being around for 2 years before being discontinued in October 2013. Even after the discontinuation, it's still possible to send notes to those you have Street Passed. Swapnote shut down for reasons that will be explained in depth in a later entry. Swapdoodle. The effective successor to Swapnote, Swapdoodle is essentially Swapnote, but there's no photo sharing capabilities, and you can only send notes to those you've Street Passed, and that's basically it. Wii games on 3DS. Throughout the 3DS's lifespan, there were a considerable number of Wii games that were either remade or ported to the 3DS. A list of these games consists of Donkey Kong Country Returns 3D, Rayman Origins, Mario & Sonic at the 2012 Olympic Games, Kirby's Extra Epic Yarn, and Xenoblade Chronicles 3D. Also, I might as well just add that there's a fair bit of Wii U games with ports on the 3DS, those games being Super Mario Maker, Smash Bros. For 3DS and Wii U, Captain Toad Treasure Tracker, and just all these games here. And for our third guest of this very special video, ladies and gentlemen, give it up for Real Bubble, who will be explaining Wii and 3DS as well as Wii U and 3DS connectivity to you. Take it away, Real Bubble.
Thank you for the warm welcome, Chili. Let's begin with Wii and 3DS connectivity, which is very scarce. The only example I can really think of is like transferring Miis from the Wii to the 3DS, and that's pretty much it. Wii U and 3DS connectivity, on the other hand, has a lot more to offer. For example, Monster Hunter 3 Ultimate cross-save compatibility. That's right, you could transfer save data between the 3DS and Wii U versions of the game. There's also indie games like Mutant Muds Deluxe that let you buy the game on one system and then transfer between consoles via the Nintendo Network ID. These are just a few among many other examples.
Street Pass Mii Plaza, a built-in 3DS app that takes advantage of Street Pass to allow users to interact with Street Pass players' Miis. With these Street Pass Miis, you could play various Street Pass Mii Plaza games. I already sort of had Egon explain this in the Street Pass and Spot Pass segment, but yeah, Street Pass Mii Plaza was a really cool feature, from the minigames to the unlockable cosmetics for your Mii to the concept of crossing paths with someone and seeing them later on your 3DS represented by a Mii and a few phrases they selected. It was all great fun. Nintendo Video, a free video on demand service for the Nintendo 3DS. The service would automatically download handpicked 3D and 2D videos over Spot Pass and rotate the selection every so often. It launched in 2011 with types of videos varying from region to region. Nintendo Video was relatively short lived, only shutting down 3 years after release. As a result, some of these videos that were formerly available on the service are actually considered lost media, but that's a topic for discussion further down the iceberg. Nintendo Zone. This is yet another app for the 3DS. It allows users to download certain exclusive content such as game demos and multiplayer features at certain locations with public hotspots, such as McDonald's or Best Buy. Nintendo Zone also allowed for Street Pass Relay, which was a feature within Nintendo Zone. This let users indirectly share Street Pass data with others that visited the same hotspot. AR games. AR games were a series of augmented reality games for the 3DS. This game came pre-installed with all 3DS consoles, similar to Face Raiders. A major difference here is that every 3DS console also came with a set of 6 AR cards that could be used within the game. These cards would feature popular Nintendo characters and would be used to play various minigames. Honestly, I didn't play much of the minigames as a kid, I just tried to take funny pictures with the cards. 3D Classics. This is a line of 6 3DS games games that were created to show off the 3D capabilities of the Nintendo 3DS. These games included Xevious, Excitebike, Urban Champion, Twin Bee, Kirby's Adventure, and Kid Icarus, blowing 3DS's microphone. One really well-known 3DS Easter egg has to do with the main menu and blowing into your 3DS microphone. By hovering over any game or app on the main menu and blowing into the 3DS's microphone port, it will cause the little software icon to spin faster. Circle Pad Pro. The Circle Pad Pro was a short-lived accessory for the launch 3DS that allowed for an additional circle pad to be used for a very few select 3DS games. This additional circle pad was honestly necessary for proper camera control in games that needed it. This accessory launched alongside Monster Hunter 3G in Japan back in 2011, and released in North America as a bundle with Resident Evil Revelations in 2012. Gateway 3DS. Gateway 3DS was the first ever 3DS flash card. This flash card was the first big step into 3DS homebrew. It allowed for piracy of both 3DS and DS games, as well as the ability for homebrew to run on the console. Let me know if you guys would be down to see a 3DS modding history video, similar to my How Nintendo Fans Revived This 18-Year-Old Console video for the Wii. I could totally see myself making that, but for the 3DS. And with that, Tier 2 comes to a close, and we can finally get into the more intriguing and lesser-known entries of Tier 3. The 3DS upon release in 2011 had a price tag of $250. Amidst backlash due to high price and also poor sales, Nintendo actually reduced the price to $170. As a thank you to those who bought the console at its original price and to make up for the price drop, Nintendo had started the 3DS Ambassador program. Those who had purchased the console before August 12, 2011 and had access to the eShop with the same console before this date would be granted 10 free NES games and 10 free Game Boy games. Parallax Barrier. The entire reason the 3DS was able to support glasses-free 3D was due to Nintendo's use of a technology called the parallax barrier. Essentially, the parallax barrier directs different images to each eye to create the illusion of depth, or in other words, glasses-free 3D. This feature was built into the top screen, which supports the 3D intensity slider. 3D Challenge Tech Demo. 3D Challenge was a tech demo showcased during Nintendo's E3 2010 live event. It's not very remarkable at all. As you can imagine, it was simply used to test the 3DS's 3D capabilities. Super Mario Bros. Theme on the internet browser. Easily one of the most well-known 3DS Easter eggs concerns the internet browser. By simply opening the internet browser and tapping the first six notes of the Super Mario Bros. Theme, it would allow you to play a short, breakout-esque game. Citra. Citra for a long time was the go-to emulator for 3DS emulation on the PC, or I guess Android 2, until Nintendo eventually cracked down on them and forced the creators to cease development of Citra. Citra as a project, however, seems to be carried on by a different team now and has been renamed to Azahar to, I guess, circumvent Nintendo's cease and desist. Smash 4 Wii U Controller. The Smash controller for 3DS is a companion app for Super Smash Bros. For Wii U. It allowed for 3DS systems to connect to the Wii U in order to be used as a controller, and it sold for about $1 on the eShop. After all, Smash 4 was the first Smash Bros. To introduce 8-player multiplayer, so the inclusion of the controller option was useful to ensure literally everyone had a method to play this game in these hypothetical 8-player multiplayer sessions. Resident Evil Revelations misprint. Nothing too crazy here, Resident Evil just had a misprint within the initial shipment that was sent to North American retailers, with the title on the spine of the game case reading Resident Evil Revelations instead of Revelations. The misprinted version is of course a lot rarer than the regular game, being worth around $40 to $50. Special Miis. Special Miis are a type of Mii that were distributed by Nintendo between March 2012 and December 2014. These Miis would distinctively wear gold pants and would consist of Nintendo employees that would greet you at your Street Pass Mii Plaza gate, often promoting certain games like Miyamoto and Luigi's Mansion Dark Moon, or even events with Iwata and his 2013 E3 Direct. Overall, it was a really fun and unique way to receive news, and I remember getting a ton of these special Miis as a kid. As a cool side note, it is actually possible to get an alternate version of Shigeru Miyamoto, Shuntaro Furukawa, and Shinya Takahashi through visiting the Nintendo Museum in Kyoto and bringing your 3DS. The museum, by the way, was opened in 2024, meaning Nintendo purposefully added a new SpotPass hotspot a whole decade after the 3DS's release just for this neat Easter egg. National Street Pass Weekend. National Street Pass Weekend is an event that first began on December 14th and 15th, 2013, in the US. Since then, many more were hosted between 2013 and 2017. Basically, anyone who accessed the Nintendo's own hotspot within those days would receive Street Pass data from those all over the states, and not just those who had previously accessed the Nintendo's own hotspot in their area. Overall, it was a really fun event, and it brought a lot of people out with their 3DSs. Giant Mii AR Card. Sold as a Club Nintendo exclusive in 2011, the Giant Mii AR Card is just that, a really big Mii AR card with a genuine functionality within the 3DS's AR games. This card made it possible for images like this to exist, so that's really cool. The Last Place player on Nintendo Network. Look, I literally made an entire video going into extreme depth on the shutdown of Nintendo Network. I highly suggest checking that out after this iceberg, but for a brief summary, the last player to use Nintendo Network servers was a player by the name of Fish Guy playing Mario Kart 7, a whole 7 months after the servers shut down. It's surprisingly easy to mod your 3DS. It's surprisingly easy to mod your 3DS. A phrase literally everyone has ever said, because it's true. The 3DS, and honestly all Nintendo consoles, are extremely easy to mod and should be done, because it really unlocks infinite possibilities. If you want to get started, 3ds.hacks.guide is your best friend, that's all I'm saying. Pretendo Network. Pretendo Network is an unofficial modded revival of Nintendo Network. As you can probably tell by the name, it's not fully functional, not every game has support, but the team behind Pretendo Network is still actively working away at having those games fully supported, and it's really incredible the work they're doing. And finally, we've reached the bottom of Tier 3. Tier 4 is where things get really hazy, and we're getting into territory of facts and entries I genuinely had no idea about, so strap in. But first, we should talk about something a little serious that actually does become relevant to an entry further down the iceberg. In an age where people are constantly oversharing online and people are always pushing for the disclosure of your data, it can be difficult to maintain your personal information as private information, especially with the rise in data brokers that will sell your data in the blink of an eye with zero remorse. It seems all too difficult now to remain private on the internet. Thanks to Aura, the generous sponsor of today's video, this no longer becomes an issue. Aura is an all-in-one digital security platform that offers 24/7 monitoring to keep your identity safe, alerts based on if your info was found on the dark web, real-time fraud alerts, as well as an all-in-one secure VPN, antivirus, password manager, and much, much more. And I am offering this to my community for free for 14 days. You can sign up by simply going to aura.com/chili. Please consider signing up as soon as possible and taking advantage of this deal to take control of your personal information yet again. Mario Kills Tanuki is in reference to this honestly absurd movement by PETA. I apologize for the amount of blurring I did here, but there's genuinely just so much blood and I don't want to get demonetized. I don't even think I can show the game because there's just as much blood in there. And yes, PETA did indeed make a flash game for this whole movement. PETA argues that Tanuki may just be a suit in many popular Mario games, but in real life, Tanuki are raccoon dogs who are bludgeoned, hanged, and skinned alive for their fur. Mario is sending the message that it is okay to wear fur. While I understand the concern behind the methods used to collect Tanuki fur, I think using Mario's likeness and the fact that the Tanuki leaf is literally just a power-up he uses in-game as a way of promoting this campaign is quite the stretch. Miitopia rated 18+ in Russia. Between different countries which hold different values, localizing can be a nightmare. It can lead to outcomes where certain games will be given completely different age ratings in different countries or regions, or they'll just be outright banned. This can be seen in Russia, where they decided to give Miitopia an 18+ age rating due to the depiction of same-sex relationships among the Miis. This is considered gay propaganda under Russian law. As a result, Miitopia received an 18+ rating. AKB48 and Me. AKB48 is a Japanese idol group active since 2005. It's a little less common in the West, but in East Asia, these idol groups are generally extremely popular. As a result, Nintendo wanted to bank on the success of this wildly popular idol group and turn it into a Japanese exclusive game for the 3DS. This game follows your Me navigating the AKB48 Academy as you train and perform alongside the actual members of the group. This game is really just a rhythm game weaved in with a little bit of storytelling. Honestly, the inclusion of Miis in such an obscure game to the West is just really intriguing to me. Game & Watch on the Sound app. By going to your SD card in 3DS Sound, selecting a song file on your SD card, and pulling down the blue cord a couple times, 3DS Sound will let you play a fully functional game of Game & Watch Soccer, Nico Nico 3DS. Nico Nico is one of Japan's most popular video sharing sites, so of course there was a 3DS adaptation of the website. Nico Nico 3DS allowed for users to watch videos and interact with the community all from the handheld. A really niche and neat feature of this app is its Street Pass integration. Nico Nico 3DS allowed you to set a Street Pass video recommendation. Then, when you're roaming the beautiful city of Nippon and pass others with their 3DS on the street, their video will get recommended to you and yours will get recommended to them. Unfortunately, Nico Nico 3DS has been shut down since March 2023. Nintendo Anime Channel. This entry was certainly a surprise to me because I had no idea the 3DS had an anime channel. It was released in 2015 and was available everywhere except North America, which is probably why I never heard of it. Nintendo, with this service, had provided a variety of anime based on Nintendo properties as well as other licensed animes. Unfortunately, the Nintendo Anime Channel came to a close on October 31st, 2018. SpotPass TV. SpotPass TV was a Japanese exclusive application that was extremely similar to Nintendo Video. And by extremely similar, I mean the concept was the exact same. The content was niched down a little more, however, featuring a variety of stuff by Nippon TV and Fuji TV. This service would only last a year, however, being released in June 2011 and shutting down in June 2012. 3DS Voice Chat. Despite the 3DS's lackluster built-in mic quality, some 3DS games actually implemented the ability to be able to start voice calls. This integration was limited, however, only being possible between friends in games such as Heroes of Ruin and Pokemon X and Y, as well as Omega Ruby and Alpha Sapphire. 3DS voice was honestly extremely limited, and finding proof of games using it was honestly kinda tough, but this isn't the last attempt of voice communication on this handheld, as we'll see later down this iceberg. 3DS Test Menu. 3DS Test Menu is a retail interactive display application used for the 3DS and retailers such as Best Buy. This app would be preloaded on a 3DS to showcase demos and trailers. 3DS Test Menu would eventually go on to be used as an application for 3DS software developers to test icons, banners, and descriptions for their 3DS apps. Rhino Skull and 3DS Camera. Left over in the Nintendo 3DS camera's code is a 3D picture of a rhino skull taken with the Fujifilm Finepix Real 3D W1 camera in 2009. It is unknown why this was left over, but it was definitely here in the first place for testing purposes. Nintendo XDS. The Nintendo XDS is the very real and new successor to the 3DS that was released in March 2024. The console would launch with absolute classics like Animal Crossing Southern Country. Yeah, this thing is obviously a joke. It's kind of like the Wii Phone, but the 3DS equivalent to it. It's like a poorly made, fan-speculated sequel, that's all I'm trying to say. Anyway, with the XDS covered, we have completed Tier 4 and are ready to dive into the depths of Tier 5. But before any of that, I just want to give a quick reminder, if you're enjoying the video, make sure to like and subscribe, of course. It lets me know that there's an audience for these longer videos, and that you guys genuinely enjoy them. Thank you. Pappy Van Poodle, an extremely obscure character from a super underrated game called Rusty's Real Deal Baseball, a game developed and published by Nintendo for free on the eShop. That's right, that's Nintendo and free in the same sentence. Crazy, I know. Regardless, Rusty's Real Deal Baseball runs on an interesting concept. While the game may be free to download, the various minigames do actually come at a cost. The player is encouraged to haggle with Rusty to reduce the price of these various minigames, often requiring the player to provide in-game items that Rusty may be looking for in order to sweeten the deal. What's important to note is that these items we provide Rusty with are integral to the story of the game. Of course, this now begs the question, if a player were to never haggle for the price of the minigames, how would the story progress? This is where Pappy Van Poodle comes in, a character that was not widely known for literal years after the game's release. Despite being featured in an officially published Nintendo game, it was hidden away for years because no one wanted to pay full price for the minigames. I mean, when the option to haggle for the price is right there and even promoted in the game itself, why would you? This is where Pappy makes his one and only official appearance in a Nintendo game, here for the sole purpose of filling plot holes that would have been otherwise filled by the player. Prior to 2019 and prior to Nick Robinson's viral video revealing Pappy Van Poodle to the world, Pappy Van Poodle stood as an official Nintendo character with zero Google searches. No one knew who this guy was. PDI Check. PDI Check is a downloadable app for the 3DS. It was sold for $100 on the eShop. Apparently, PDI Check is some kind of interactive multiple choice game, utilizing the 3D screen on the 3DS to quickly and accurately measure monocular, near visual acuity, color vision, and stereopsis. The app would give you a series of three vision tests in order to be able to measure each field. Last 3DS call post Nintendo Network shutdown. We do in fact have footage of one of the last voice calls to ever happen on Nintendo Network. This was between Quain and Gaffs Not Laughs, roughly a few hours after the closure of Nintendo Network on Pokemon X and Y. This is how it went.
Okay, so I just realized that something we haven't tested yet is the voice chat feature. I'm gonna ask Quain to voice chat, hopefully he'll accept it. Hello?
Hello?
Yo, it works!
What's the
cool
thing that works? Are you serious?
It's working! Let's go!
That's crazy. I did not expect that to work. That is wild.
Game chat works. Game chat works and O-Powers work, I believe. I think we can still send each other O-Powers. I mean, it does it when you open the trade screen, and we can still open the trade screen, so I'm not totally shocked, but that's hilarious still. Alright, I'm gonna get back to bed. Thanks for accepting. It was fun testing this.
Yet another guest I have here is Mika Miyota, an artist, producer, and a fella that can do it all. He's gonna teach you about the Core DSN 12 on the 3DS. Take it away, Mika Miyota.
Thank you, Chili, for having me. I'm very arigatoful. Korg is a Japanese electronic music instrument manufacturer. In 2014, they set out to create an entire DOS-less digital audio workstation controllable from the 3DS console. It retails for about $40 in the Nintendo eShop, and it is a pretty obscure piece of software for the 3DS. Korg makes it a point that the 3DS DOM makes it easy for anyone to enjoy serious sound creation and sound production, which I believe is a pretty insane and epic sauce achievement for the 3DS.
Nintendo Fan Network. Nintendo Fan Network was an app for the 3DS and DSi that could only be used in the Seattle Mariners T-Mobile Park Baseball Stadium. You could use the app to look at live statistics for any matches going on, as well as to order food and drinks, which I think is extremely cool, and it's sort of like a mini version of the Demae channel for the 3DS. 3DS Guide Louvre. The Nintendo 3DS Guide Louvre is an app for the Nintendo 3DS that was solely rentable at the Louvre Museum in Paris. It's been the go-to guide method since 2012, until very recently, where it seems like the Louvre is discontinuing the 3DS guide altogether. together. A home version of the guide was released in 2013 on the 3DS eShop for all regions. Around this time, physical copies of the software were also sold at the Louvre Museum gift shop. Mario Kart Wii 3D Build. Prior to the development of the 3DS, many glasses-free 3D experiments were done on Nintendo's past consoles. Think of the GameCube's Luigi's Mansion glasses-free 3D demo, which was secretly showcased to the world at E3 2002, or the glasses-free 3D build of Mario Kart Wii on the Wii, which was created as a proof of concept for the 3DS. However, unlike the GameCube Luigi's Mansion 3D prototype, this was never officially unveiled as a prototype or demo. It was only spoken about once in a game developer conference in 2011. This mention is often forgotten about nowadays. It's unfortunate considering it essentially paved the way for the 3DS. Unreleased Orange Launch 3DS. The 3DS, which was officially unveiled at E3 2010, showcased the many colors the console would release in. There were the colors that ended up actually releasing, such as the black, aqua, purple. Among these colors was a really cool orange and goldish 3DS that was showcased but never released. Why Nintendo opted to cut out orange specifically from the line of 3DS consoles that would release is unknown, but it's still a bummer considering how nice it actually looks. IQ 3DS. I've mentioned IQ like a million times now. I'll just dumb it down real quick. IQ is a Chinese subsidiary of Nintendo. Why does Nintendo need a Chinese subsidiary? They needed to be able to get around China's strict laws surrounding the selling and distribution of games and game systems. By Nintendo having a division of their company founded and also owned in China, it allows them to be able to get approved to sell these consoles. Now, as for the IQ 3DS. The IQ 3DS was the adaptation of the 3DS that China received. These IQ 3DSs were bundled with games, and depending on which bundle you picked, those would be the games you're stuck playing. IQ never released physical copies of their games, so players were locked playing the games their consoles were bundled with. In total, there were only about 16 games that were translated and localized for this console. Now, here's where things genuinely get crazy. At the very bottom of the iceberg, Tier 6. With Nintendo Video being set up in the way that it is, there is a considerable amount of content that has been straight up lost. With features like 4 videos being available at one time, videos differing between regions, and no real way to get these videos off of the 3DS unless you have a comprehensive understanding of SpotPass's inner workings, or Nintendo Video file formats, or a 3DS capture card, yeah, it makes sense why so many of these videos are lost. Add on to this the fact that the only videos that are being kept track of on the Lost Media Wiki are those that were released in North America. I just find it so interesting that hundreds of videos made specifically for the short-lived app released on a handheld console from the 2010s are lost and may never see the light of day again. Yoshimoto Celebrity Mii Promotion. As a part of the Yoshimoto 100th Anniversary Project, an event that took place in Japan to celebrate Yoshimoto Kogyo Company, a Japanese entertainment conglomerate, Nintendo decided to make over 100 custom official Miis of the comedians associated with Yoshimoto Kogyo between August 1st, 2011 and August 31st, 2011 across Yoshimoto theaters, stores, and train stations in Japan. These QR codes could be found and scanned on your 3DS to receive these official Miis. All of these Miis are in fact archived, as well as their QR codes. Baldi's Basics was made for the 3DS. The popular game Baldi's Basics in Education and Learning was in fact initially planned to be released on the 3DS. It's unknown if it would have been some sort of homebrew game or a genuine release to the eShop. Unfortunately, this project was scrapped and development continued for a PC version. Nowadays, a remake of Baldi's Basics is being developed for the 3DS by a fan, however. Hanato Ikimono Ritai Zukan. I'm not even gonna bother repeating that, is a game released by Nintendo in 2011. It's a surprisingly in-depth nature encyclopedia that contains information on flowers, insects, and birds. This game is unfortunately a Japanese exclusive. I think what's most intriguing about this game, at least to me, is how similar it looks to the Wii Photo channel in terms of the UI. I have a huge thing for remakes on portable consoles, so I find this really cool. Bomberman 3DS. Bomberman 3DS was a scheduled launch title on the 3DS. It was going to be a fully fledged action adventure game. This game made it pretty far in development, even having seconds of footage during Nintendo's E3 2011 presentation. However, development went on to be cancelled in March 2011 due to Hudson Soft, the developer, merger with Konami. The footage from the showcase proves that there is a build of the game out there, however, it's been lost for over a decade. 2016 Badge Arcade Unused Text. Since about 2016, there has been unused text in Nintendo Badge Arcade's files. This text was a statement that the Arcade Bunny would issue in the case that Nintendo Network would ever shut down. The unused text states the following. Hey there, great to see you. Afraid I've got a bit of bad news for you today. Now please don't be upset, but the thing is, the Nintendo Badge Arcade has actually closed down. All our badge catchers have been picked up, there are none to play. You can still change your badge boxes, categories, and stuff though. And hey, it's not like I'm super busy these days, so visit anytime. You might be wondering what I'm doing still hanging out here, huh? Well, if I wasn't here to help, who'd help you organize your badge box? The boss cares about his customers, so I'll be working here for a while longer. And badges or no badges, I'll be happy to see you. Anything you need? If so, please tap collection on the lower screen. This unused text never actually got used. Nowadays, post Nintendo Network shutdown, you just get a connection error when trying to access Badge Arcade. It really is a shame because this message really gave character to the Arcade Bunny, but now he's simply lost to time. Every Everyone's Chat. Everyone's Chat was a Japanese exclusive 3DS software that allowed users to chat up with up to 10 people and play together, and also call with up to 4 people. With this being an obscure Japanese exclusive software, I had to come across info on websites entirely written in Japanese. Anyway, what we do know is that this software was released in July 2013 and was subsequently shut down in March 2019. There is in fact a Nintendo Switch counterpart to this app called Everyone's Oshaberi Chat, which is still up and running. Keep in mind that all these names are being translated from Japanese to English. Anyway, also while researching this entry, I found Chotu Talk, which is apparently another 3DS calling and chatting app that was exclusive to Japan, and there is far less information on this one. Now, for this mildly disturbing entry, I have fellow content creator Casey explaining the Tomodachi Life Suicide Dream to you.
The Japanese version of Tomodachi Life has a strange amount of dreams alluding to suicide, whether it is the stick figure dream that for some reason features a string attached to the Mii's neck. This string is not seen in versions of the game outside of Japan. Similarly, the backpack dream features a Mii being attached to a backpack as a keychain. In Japan, the Mii is once again seen hanging by the neck. Versions outside of Japan had had this changed to a Mii being attached to the backpack by their arm. The Japanese versions of these games obviously allude to suicide, but were altered in other releases of the game to remove any semblance of these connotations. However, there is actually one dream in particular that was outright cut from all versions of the game outside of Korea. Oddly enough, this is the bungee jump dream, a dream which is pretty eerie with the kind of music that plays during it and all. Add on to this the fact that it straight up looks like the Mii is committing suicide with another Mii watching, which is just crazy. Overall, it's quite the odd dream to have featured in a kid's game.
Swap Note controversy. You remember Swap Note from earlier entries, correct? Well, I never dove into why Swap Note was actually shut down. Turns out Swap Note was actually in a lot of controversy, specifically over in Japan, where Swap Note was being used by certain bad actors to have minors send them explicit images of themselves. Such is the case of a 44-year-old man in Japan's Aichi Prefecture, who had confessed to committing such actions. Unfortunately, there is another case of this, a girl who had met both a 49-year-old man and a 36-year-old man at a hotel off of Swapnote alone somehow. All of this is extremely upsetting and explains why Swapnote was so short-lived. It also explains how when Nintendo was developing Swapdoodle, the successor of Swapnote, they removed any way to send images and any online chatting functions whatsoever. Congratulations, you officially made it to the end of the Ultimate 3DS Iceberg. If you enjoyed, please do consider subscribing. I don't usually post icebergs, but I have a playlist here full of icebergs and fact videos that I've made in the past, so definitely binge them all. I want to give credit to Mari, the creator of the Nintendo 3DS and DS Iceberg. I essentially took the 3DS side of their iceberg and threw in many of my own entries. You guys know the drill, like the video up, check out all my socials below. Thank you for watching, goodbye.
Come on, nobody save you. You make the music because that's what I meant to do. Go out, play your cards right here and make it to you. I'm trying to blow it up, trying to blow it up.